UAB Medcast is an ongoing medical education podcast. The UAB Division of Continuing Education designates that each episode of this enduring material is worth a maximum of 0.25 AMA PRA Category 1 credit. To collect credit, please visit uabmedicine.org/medcast and complete the episode's post-test.
Welcome to UAB Medcast, a continuing education podcast for medical professionals. Bringing knowledge to your world, here's Melanie Cole.
There are over 1 million survivors from gynecologic malignancies currently living in the United States, and this population is expected to increase over the next decade. Identifying the needs of these survivors is often understudied and overlooked. My guest today is Dr. Carrie Bevis. She's a gynecologic oncologist at UAB Medicine. Welcome to the show, Dr. Bevis. Explain a little bit about gynecologic survivorship. What's been the history and overall feeling about the prognosis for gynecologic cancer patients?
Well, it varies pretty significantly depending upon the diagnosis, the type of cancer that our patients are experiencing. Within GYN oncology, we experience a whole range of prognostic outcomes from something like an early stage endometrial cancer, which is commonly cured with surgical intervention alone, ranging on the other end of things to an advanced stage ovarian malignancy where patients over the course of their post-diagnosis time course experience a multitude of relapses followed by periods of remission, but ultimately typically culminating in a patient sort of succumbing to their disease. So within the practice of GYN oncology, the concept of survivorship really can take on a multitude of forms, have a multitude of facets, and can be a very, very complex issue when we really get down into the nuts and bolts of what that would really mean and what it should entail to maximize the outcome for the patient.
Do you feel, as I said in my intro, that these some of these needs of cancer survivors have been overlooked or understudied, and do you feel that there's a difference now that you're recognizing some of these needs and that people are paying a little more attention?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. The study of survivorship and where we can maximize intervention for the patients who are cancer survivors is really just in its infancy. We are learning every day more and more about not only the documentation and the medical information that we could and should provide to our patients, but even domains of sort of psychosocial issues that we really have not explored fully in the past are really becoming sort of the center of active research in this realm because there's just so much to learn. I don't think unless anyone has really walked the footsteps of a cancer patient, it's really a challenge to understand what that patient experiences. And therefore, it's really kind of hard to fully appreciate the areas that we can intervene from a medical standpoint to maximize the quality of life for those patients.
So then how do you identify some of the needs? And I mean, are you looking at the late and long-term effects? Are you looking at you mentioned psychosocial, depression, family matters, finances. There's so many things. So how do you identify those needs and then begin to address them?
One step at a time, truthfully. I think this is an area where qualitative methods in research really may find a niche for cancer investigation because really the richness and the complexity of the challenges that cancer patients face is not something that lends itself as neatly to more typical quantitative measures. So in other words, we can't measure it with numbers and graphs and those sorts of things. There are certainly ways to investigate it and ways to identify needs and definitely to mark and to document improvement towards a goal with those quantitative type of investigation. But also there's really a need to sit down and have in-depth interviews with patients where they can really tell you what it is that they've experienced and all of those challenges that you just mentioned, whether it be depression and anxiety, whether it be sexuality and body image issues, whether it be financial toxicity, whether it be the late-term effects of their treatment that, you know, we may not even really appreciate in the first 6 months to a year, but it's even after that that we appreciate them. So as the number of patients who survive these cancers increases, as you suggested, really the ability for us as researchers and as medical professionals to understand the experience of the patient only increases as well. We just need to get at it with sort of from a multitude of angles.
So let's talk about the program at UAB Medicine. Is there a patient selection criteria? Are there eligibility requirements to get into the survivorship program? And speak about some of the key elements of the program.
Yeah, so our survivorship, our formal survivorship program right now, as it exists sort of formally, primarily revolves around our ovarian cancer patients. Ultimately, our hope is to expand that survivorship program formally to include everyone. And of course, informally, we do address the survivorship needs of all GYN cancer patients, regardless of their diagnosis. But ovarian cancer in some ways is very unique because, as I mentioned earlier, the disease course of ovarian cancer is very much a relapsing and remitting type of course. So there will be a woman at any given point during her disease process where she's not on chemotherapy, followed by a 6 or so month period of time where she is on active treatment. And those two things can alternate for various lengths of time over the course of sort of her stay in our clinic. And so their survivorship needs understandably change slightly over that time course. As an example, for many patients, immediately after they finish chemotherapy, and even in the presence of excellent news like clinical remission, there comes a significant burden of anxiety and sort of the what now type of psychological burden that I think our patients experience that comes with living with uncertainty. Is this going to come back? If so, when? What is that going to mean when it does? So a whole new level of psychosocial issues that patients have to deal with that many of them never have had to face before. And then you sort of contrast that with a patient that's on active therapy, where their focus is sort of less on is this going to come back because it's something that they're actively fighting, and perhaps their survivorship needs are more focused on managing the day-to-day side effects of the chemo drug that they're getting. And as our chemo options increase and as the length of time that a patient may stay on that treatment increases, their needs change, and I think the important thing is just to be responsive to those needs. So what is it that our survivorship program, I think, brings that is unique? Navigation is an important concept because our patient navigators offer an extra layer of support to basically ensure that the patient's needs are addressed both when they're in the office as well as when they're at home in between office visits. They're an additional layer of support to ensure that the patients are aware of when their appointments are and are aware of transportation resources if available. They're constantly assessing the patient's sort of level of distress, whether it be from a number of different domains, finances or depression or just the physical side effects of treatment or survivorship or the sexual side effects, constantly sort of reevaluating those and really providing those patients with resources and appropriate intervention when there are needs that are documented. And that person and that additional layer of support sort of follows them across the disease process. And with that comes nutrition counseling. It comes with supportive care interventions with palliative and supportive care providers who are really focused on the side effects of the treatment and less so on the treatment itself. They're also really focused on sort of bigger existential type of things where the what is the meaning behind all of this and what has my legacy been and what am I going to be leaving behind and those sorts of things. So it's really a very dynamic, very complex process that involves a multitude of interfaces with multiple subspecialty clinics and providers across the institution and really even across the region, because it involves, of course, their primary care physician and their cardiologists and those other physicians who are also managing their general health.
Well, it's certainly such importance to have that improved coordination of care between providers. And you answered that question even before I was able to ask you. So that was just a wonderful summary. How do you evaluate the impact of such programs on outcomes? What are you, quantitatively, or whether it is those psychosocial and all of those things, how do you evaluate it as a physician and say, yes, this survivorship for ovarian cancer patients is working or it's helping, or how do you do that?
Well, again, this is not a simple process that we've implemented. It's also not a simple evaluation. What I think we can say is that specifically as it relates to the Navigator, there's been a multitude of studies that have really documented the improvement in that additional coordination from a cost of care standpoint to the system, from a sort of patient satisfaction standpoint, and even frankly from a patient survival standpoint. And all of that sort of data is just now really being published or even prepared for publication. But I think it seems to be pretty uniform across the board that the better coordination of care you're able to provide, sort of the better the overall experience across the board. With regard to our specific patients, I think it really comes down to outcomes and how good they feel and as they report on their quality of life measures as they experience their cancer journey. I think it also sort of boils down to how we as providers feel that we are best addressing their needs. And I think having those additional connections and those additional resources and those additional personnel who are actively coordinating that patient, even on the provider side of things, is really, really helpful because it truly makes us feel as if we are providing comprehensive care to the patient. And at the end of the day, that's a great feeling in and of itself. And that's sort of icing on the cake when you look at truly how the patient benefits from their quality of life and sort of patient satisfaction standpoint.
Dr. Bevis, in summary, give us a little indication of where you see survivorship going in the future, and tell other physicians what you'd like them to know about survivorship for gynecologic cancer patients at UAB and when to refer.
So I think the future for survivorship, it's so exciting and it's so bright because there's just so much that we have yet to fully understand and so many interventions that we can test to improve the way that our patients experience cancer. I think for providers out there, realizing that when a patient chooses UAB as their provider for GYN cancer care, that it's more than just the surgery and it's more than just the chemotherapy or the radiation or whatever that cancer treatment modality may be. It really is a patient-centered program that looks to maximize the outcomes both in the office and outside of the office for our patients so that they can live as fully and as long as possible given the diagnosis that they have.
Thank you so much for being with us today. It's such great information. A community physician can refer a patient to UAB Medicine by calling the MIST line at 1-800-UAB-MIST. That's 1-800-822-6478. You're listening to UAB Medcast. For more information on resources available at UAB Medicine, you can go to uabmedicine.org/physician. That's uabmedicine.org/physician. This is Melanie Cole. Thanks so much for listening.